Good afternoon. So back to the show today. Once again, welcome to Ludmilla and Mike. Shall we just go around and if you want to let us know, what are some of the subjects you're going to be covering for us today?
Sure. Well, I was trying to interpret what Mike was signaling here to me in sign language.
Oh, sorry. What was that?
I wasn't quite sure whether he wanted me to go for the whole hour and a half of the remaining time.
Hey,
or he wanted
new.
Me to make my update shorter.
You go for it.
In any event, a number of articles and stories that came out this past week that might be of relevance. You know, one in particular to kind of follow up on our discussion last week was about the fire in TCOM, and a lot of interesting legal implications and practical implications coming out of that story. But this article had to do with sort of with Dubai Municipality basically washing itself, its hands off, if you will, from from the fire itself, and you know, and from even investigating the incident, because it may not be in its jurisdiction. So I know Siobhan is not quite understanding, but if you want, we can get to the story now. But
let's start with that.
Sure. Why don't we start with
everything.
That? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So the story has to do with how just as a background. It's the fire that took place in TCOM last weekend.
Yeah.
And you know, something, I think, like 10 stories were engulfed in flames. And, you know, we spoke about what happens next. I mean, first of all, what happens to the individuals mm-hmm. that were caught up in the fire? You know, where do they go in the interim? And then, you know, who covers basically the losses, the damage that they have suffered as a result of the fire? Who is being held responsible? Who is investigating? You know, and, you know, why did the fire take place to begin with? You know, how were the people evacuated? Who is going to be penalized? And so on and so forth. There's a whole myriad of questions, and I think they will become a lot more prevalent in the next several years, because now that more buildings are being handed over, more people are moving in and they're becoming settled, you know, and it's just a fact of life. You know, more of these incidents will happen. And this, the story actually was in the National, published on October 8th, and it has to do with basically where now there is a debate about who is really, which municipality, if you will, which authority is responsible for that building. Which authorities, rather, you know, which authorities were responsible to monitor and control construction while it was going on, and then which authorities were supposed to license and give approvals and NOCs when the building was handed over, and which authorities are now basically now supposed to be or in charge of regulating.
Okay.
And because the building is located in TCOM, and that's considered a free zone,
mm-hmm.
therefore, Dubai Municipality said that it may not actually be under its jurisdiction, because it is under the jurisdiction of a free zone,
okay,
i.e. being the TCOM, and so therefore it may not be within the jurisdiction of Dubai Municipality. So what does that mean? You know, it's a simple statement, but what does it really mean
in practice?
It's amazing,
isn't it? Because, you know, whoever signed off on the building, you would think, has responsibility. Who signed off on the completion of that building and said this is fit for purpose? Like Martin
would
say.
No, we don't know
RICS.
How the fire started, though. Well, I mean, it could have been someone actually started it. It could have been, it's not necessarily the fault of the building. It could be the fault of someone in the building.
But the fact that the building went up so quickly is obviously a fault and needs, and again,
well,
let's not get into blame, because this is the whole theory, the whole crux of my piece today is the blame game. And all we continue to do in a litigious society that we've created is blame. We don't want to blame, we want to prevent. We want to stop it happening again. So how do we investigate this, not to apportion blame, to find out what happened, how it happened, what the damage was caused and why it was so extensive when it might have been contained? That's, to me, the answer, not to blame who did it. I can't understand that concept.
Yeah, but what the issue is that who should be asking these questions?
Well, quite, but then to me, if someone signs off on the building when it was released, they should follow through. Shouldn't they?
I don't know. Or is it a police investigation? I don't know.
You know, both of you are right, because in fact this article does make a point about the cladding. I mean, it was the aluminum cladding that caught on fire.
Yeah.
But it isn't aluminum itself that's combustible. It is the insulation material in the cladding that catches fire. And so the cladding sounds like, again, from these preliminary reports, sounds like the cladding was really not sort of fit for purpose, as if you will. And that's really what prompted the fire to spread as fast as it did. And so then going back to Mike's question, you know, so who was it who allowed for this sort of cladding to be installed? And one of the quotes in the article basically refers to the fact that, you know, because it was in the freeze zone, some sort of inspection did not take place. So some kind of inspection, and I will tell you, to me in particular, this is a very interesting subject because we've gone through this process, you know, over the last many years in trying to understand every time, you know, as far as properties are concerned, which authorities govern which part of that property. And we've looked at TCOM before, and this, you know, this question comes up in my practice, for example, with, you know, handover practices. When a developer says a building is being handed over, it says who? I mean, show me the sort of the relevant approval.
Well, we spoke about that, didn't we, last week with
Or fit outs. Same with fit outs. You know, for example, if you're in JLT DMCC area, who is responsible for fit out? Is it the DMCC/JLT? Is it the civil defense? Is it Dubai municipality? You know, is it Trakees? Is it some other sort of, you know, is it DED? I mean, you know, which municipality? And I will tell you, there is no clear answer today. And we specialize in these sort of issues, you know, and we make a very concerted effort to try to get to the bottom of it. And we have not been able to figure out exactly which authority is the overarching governing authority. And this actually applies to everything with regards to, and it's, you know, it's really because this is intricate, you know, I guess, phenomenon of having free zones. I mean, in theory, these free zones aim to be a somewhat autonomous or independent and have their own jurisdiction. So, but how far does this autonomy extend? You know, for example, in contracts, every free zone has its own, you know, employment regulations, and it has its own employment contracts, for example. But then, if you have a dispute, do you resolve it by that within that free zone, or do you take it to the Department of Employment or Labor Department? And this is, you know, we've gone back and forth, and there's this confusion between how far does the jurisdiction of, for example, that free zone extend versus, you know, versus Department of Labor versus Immigration Department, because as far as employment is concerned, you have the interconnection, you know, amongst all of these agencies. And so going, you know, bringing back that same sort of line of thinking into this particular incident, it's the same dilemma that's happening here right now, is that no one really knows who the ultimate authority is, and, you know, and for which parts of it, you know, different authorities are responsible.
Interesting message come through from one of our listeners. Says surely that if the residents pay some kind of municipality tax, which would maybe somehow make them connected to the municipality.
And we don't know that yet. Again, we all know that we pay the what's called the housing tax,
yes,
and that is, you know, that's the 5% of the rental value of the property. But it isn't really clear. I mean, who collects it? I mean, we know sort of who collects it, but where the money ends up ultimately and for what purpose it's spent. So, for example, if you live in Dubai Marina on the Palm, most residences there are, you know, their rent or their housing tax is collected through DIWA bills. So therefore, you know, and DIWA kind of, at least in theory, is more of a Dubai, general Dubai authority versus a particular free zone. But so then, you know, the question could be, well, that money, and we've looked into this question as well, and you know, the answer we've gotten, but we're not sure of its accuracy, is that the housing tax goes more towards roads, you know, towards roads and sort of the general infrastructure in Greater Dubai, and not necessarily that particular free zone or that particular geographic zone. Therefore, for example, if you live on the Palm, you pay the housing fee, then you also pay a fee to Nakheel, who is the master developer of the Palm, through your association fees. Therefore, you know, there's again the interplay between the master developer in example of the Palm, it's Nakheel, and, you know, Dubai municipality through the you know, through the housing fee. So, and we don't know yet to this day, you know, who's responsible for what, and, you know, and how the money that they collect is being spent.
Another message on the fire issue on by listeners that says it is widespread throughout the UAE, not just the design and materials, but the whole handover, life safety equipment and routine safety procedures.
Very true. We've talked about this numerous times. You know, we have run into problem after problem and issue after issue with developers, for example, when they claim a particular building is you know, is ready handed over, handover. Is ready and ready for handover. Whereas upon inspection, and you know, now buyers are becoming a lot more savvy, so they bring inspectors, they bring experts, they bring engineers, construction engineers with them to inspect the properties. And so these are not just amateur sort of accounts, you know, these are expert accounts that that, you know, they do list out all sorts of issues that could be hazardous, so, and incomplete.
Can I ask, I mean, for handover of any building, regardless of if it's in a free zone or not, you obviously have to have these ticks and checks and measures signed off. But as you, and I think you've probably already said this, but I just want to get clarity on it. Is there then an actual sort of sign off that everyone has to get, regardless of where the building is, as a sign, saying this building is fit for purpose and people can actually go and live in it or work in it, whatever it might be?
Well, in short, in theory, there should be. And, you know, and at least by some accounts of those who are in the industry, there are some sort of guidelines and there is some kind of a final sign-off authority.
So what I'm asking is, it's not just an independent surveyor or an independent person.
That's why my answer is so convoluted, because, well, right now, Siobhan, it is. Right. I mean, and that's, at least as far as we're concerned and in our experience is concerned, you know, because remember, I've talked about this before, most of the contracts, most of the SBAs have a provision that says that the building is handed over when the developer says so.
Because usually the developer will bring in their own consultants.
Of course, and it says when the developer's consultant says so. But we all know developer's consultant gets paid by the developer, and therefore there at least theoretically a question about bias or, you know, lack thereof.
So there isn't then, on top of all of that, some kind of more independent or government body or whatever.
Well, there is
to check those checks and make sure that
we don't. Well, there is, but we don't know who that body ultimately is. I mean, it's Dubai Municipality at some point, but as far as some free zones are concerned, it may not be Dubai Municipality as per this article in particular. And then the developers have not been very forthcoming about telling buyers, for example, who what the checklist, what the final checklist is, and who the final sign off authorities are.
Well, let's. Perhaps we can put that question out to our listeners. If you have recently had your apartment or whatever it might be handed over to you, have you checked this checklist to see that, make sure that all the various different safety procedures and precautions have been put in place? Is it something that you've seen? Is it something that you've asked for and been given? Why not let us know? We'd love to hear your thoughts.